Now?
We're on.
Now. Right. Hey, that was the shortest
that was good.
Ever.
That was good.
But anyway, we still need that light. Welcome to Comic Culture. Did we say we had a show a while ago on Valentine's Day?
We did.
Yeah. Did we say Comic Culture, the podcast, the champion?
Well,
yeah,
at first you started saying the radio show, but we're not a radio show anymore.
No,
now
we're
a podcast.
Yeah. See, it's all coming together, Chris. Slowly over time, we're going to get this.
The drugs are kicking in. I see. That's good.
Welcome to Comic Culture, the podcast that explores all things comic culture. I'm Walter DeRaglio.
And I'm Chris Owen.
And we are your host guides for this episode. What's this episode about again?
So I want to talk to you. I want to pick your brain a little bit.
Pick it.
Well,
Wilson Pickett.
I want to pick your brain. It's I have, as I'm sure you have, bought and sold many a comic book in your life.
I have.
I'm sure you've bought and sold as a dealer, as a collector, in all ways.
Mm-hmm.
And with the advent of eBay and consignment places and Kijiji.
Or how about Instagram?
Instagram. Right. And Facebook Marketplace.
Facebook Marketplace.
And all these different places. You know, where and how do you think is the best way to sell your comics? Now, here's what I'm going to do.
Here's what you're going
to
do.
I'm going to mention the different ways, and I want you to tell me what the pros and cons are for each of them.
Right.
So I'm going to start off with the most... the one that you would probably think of the easiest, and that would be. I want you to divide it up into both individual issues and collections.
Okay. I'm gonna do the best I can.
Okay, so I have comics.
Yes, you do.
And I'm gonna sell them, and I've decided I'm gonna sell them to a comic book store.
Right.
If I had both a collection and or one good one.
Right.
What's the pros and cons for each of those?
Pros are definitely quick transaction. You go there with your stuff. You leave with money.
Right.
Right? It's as long as it took you to pack the stuff into your car or truck, drive over there, negotiate, you're heading home, you're done.
Right.
Wash your hands of it, you got your money.
Right.
Right? That's definitely a pro of dealing with your collection to all in one lump to a comic shop.
Right.
Yeah.
So very much so painless.
Painless.
As far as the amount of work that you have to do.
As far as the amount of work you have to do.
Now.
All you have to do, though, you can't, there's always got to be that due diligence. You have to know what you have.
Right.
And you have to have an idea of value.
Okay, so I want to break that down a little bit more here for a second. When you say you have to know what you have, what if you don't know? What if somebody gave you a box of comics and
then you really, really have to trust that local comic?
Okay.
Right?
Okay.
You have to trust them to the point where you almost have to tell them, hey, I don't know what's in here.
Yeah. Right? Yeah. Okay.
So I don't advise that. Honestly, I don't.
Yeah.
It just puts you in a precarious position. It puts you in a vulnerable position of not pulling out as much as you could if you did a little bit of research.
Right. So now let's get to that. So let's say if you had, whether it be a single comic or, 20 boxes of comics.
Yeah.
What kind of money do you think that store is going to offer that person?
I would say, depending on the mix. So if you went there and you had 10 boxes of comics and they had 150 comics in each, so you had 1,500 comics, but every single one of them was it doesn't have to be big money, but a desirable $20, $50 book, first this, first that, number one of this, number one of that, that person's going to give you more than they are of some just, you collected Legion 99.
Right.
From the 90s. Or you collected, heaven forbid, something even worse. I don't know.
Yeah.
Kickers. Inc.
Yeah, sure. Okay.
Arion.
Right.
Even your Alpha Flight run.
Sure.
If you bring those you know, you can expect, honestly, the guy to offer you a dime each.
Right, okay.
Right? And the guy wouldn't be wrong.
So now, what about if they had, you know, maybe not 10 boxes, that's a lot, but if they had 2 boxes of really good stuff.
Sure, sure. Well, that's where the due diligence comes in. If you know it's good stuff, it's easy. There's lots of tools. The best tool, especially if they're popular stuff, Chris, just jump on, spend an hour and a half, go on eBay.
Right.
Type in the title and the issue number. Remember, you and I talked about grading a while back.
Yep.
Put it in one of the 3 macro grades.
Okay.
Is it low grade? Is it mid grade? Is it high grade?
Right. Okay.
And then type in, you know, I'm making up a number here. Type in Amazing Spider-Man number 136.
Right.
And then everybody selling one, those will appear.
Yeah.
But if you go over on the left-hand column and you go down and type in, hit the sold items
right
thing, it'll show you not what people want to get for it,
yeah,
but what people are actually getting.
Okay, all right.
And then you're going to get sense of what they're getting.
Now, right? Now that's what they're getting on eBay,
right?
So now, and I'm not talking about eBay yet. What percentage do you think a store would likely offer for that person's collection?
So usually, what the store will do is they'll base it on turnover.
Right.
Turnaround time. So they will give you, for raw, ungraded books, they can give you, I think a generous thing would be 70% of what they're going to sell it at if it's a really good book.
Right.
Right? But they may only give you 15% or 10% of what they're going to sell it at if it's what you call attrition sales books.
Right.
And as an example, let's take... it may be too good of an example, but I'll use it anyway. No, actually, it's not too good of an example. Let's say Spectacular Spider-Man.
Right.
That's 1976. Or let's say Nova.
Okay.
That's 1976. Yep. Maybe Nova's easier. Right?
Yeah, okay.
So Nova number 1 is a hot book.
Right.
And Nova number 1 in mid-grade can get over $100.
Right.
Right? So that store owner knows that if they buy that Nova, that'll sell tomorrow.
Right.
Right? So they can offer you... very reasonable money for it.
Right.
But number 2 to 23,
yeah,
they're tough sells.
Right.
Right. That's for the guy filling in it, or the girl filling in their Nova run.
Right.
Not that many of them around.
No.
Right. And so, especially if they're not in high grade, I mean, if they're beautiful, if they're nice, kind of 8 out of 10s, 7.5 out of 10s, they're nice to look at, but they're not considered high grade.
Right.
They're just kind of for people that might pay $10 each for them, maybe.
Right.
To fill in their runs. Well, you might get $2 offer on each of those.
Right. You know? So on the whole, can you give a, let's say a person had a collection of relatively good stuff,
uh-huh,
not amazing stuff, but
right,
can you give, like, would you say they'd get like 40%, 50%, do you think,
of the value? If it's a mix,
yeah,
if it's a mix of stuff that's good and a mix of stuff that's attrition sales that sit in bins for years and go to cons and the overhead is atrocious and the sell-through isn't 100% and all that kind of stuff.
He's going to have to sit on it for a long time.
I say, you know, anywhere from... 25 to 45%.
Okay,
good.
That's fair. Yeah.
Right?
Okay.
Yeah, so.
Now, and if it had one book,
right,
that was really high grade,
yeah,
high end book,
yeah,
you might get like 90%.
Sure.
For, sure.
If a guy walked in, I don't know about 90, because that would mean that the problem with that is the shopkeep is going to grade it with a very critical eye.
Right.
So. You know, you bring in your Hulk 181, and you can't blame the shopkeep for this. And you think it's a 7.0.
Yeah.
The shopkeep's going to go, I don't know, maybe it's a 6.5. The shopkeep's not going to say it's a 3.5. Then
right,
you know, hey, wait a minute. But, you know, it's a mid-grade book.
Yeah.
It's, you know, but he's going to err on the side of it being a 6.65 rather than
sure,
a 7.
Now, what if it's already a graded book?
That's different. That's
okay,
totally different.
So
everybody's safer. Everybody's working within
right,
safe paradigms.
So do you think they'd get
right,
a better...
Absolutely would.
Okay.
Absolutely, because the shopkeep can buy with certainty.
Right.
That the resale of it is good. Because then we got to remember, some shopkeeps can't grade. I would say most shopkeeps can't grade.
I agree with that,
right?
Yes.
So it's the dangerous thing selling... So overall, I don't recommend selling collections to a shopkeep unless you honestly have an established relationship with that person, and you go and spend time and go over, and the shopkeep basically explains everything and is kind of transparent with what they're doing.
Right.
Say, hey, you know what? I'm giving you 25% of what I think these will sell for based on this.
Yeah.
The work involved, the overhead involved,
yep.
the lack of 100% sell through, well, whatever reasons they can come up
sure.
with. If you buy those reasons,
yep.
then you may agree on that price.
Right.
Because you don't want to go and do the extra work. I always give, like, when people walk in, like, I'll go, hey, you know what? Throw this on Kijiji.
Okay, well, we're going to get there. We're going to get there.
I'm saying throw this on somewhere else.
Yeah.
And you're going to get double what
okay.
I'm paying you.
So basically what we're going to say here for, if we can sum up the shop, the brick and mortar store.
That's your worst option.
Worst option because... you'll probably get it's not necessarily the worst.
You're right.
It's the going
worst
to the,
option, maybe financially.
Financially, right. The worst option. Best option as far as the amount of work involved.
Expediency, getting rid of them. You know,
instant money.
You're moving tomorrow. You gotta get rid of it. You don't have time.
Yep.
Your time is money.
And all those things happen.
All those things happen.
Okay, so let's move on then to eBay.
Mm-hmm.
So you've got your collection of comics, and you want to start selling them on eBay. What are the pros and cons for eBay?
eBay is a difficult thing. eBay isn't created equal. All sellers aren't created equal on eBay.
Right.
So eBay is an atrocious amount of work if you're doing it yourself.
Mm.
But it could be futile work. If you're an up-and-coming starter and you don't have good professional correspondence with people with questions, you don't know how to pack, you don't know how to ship, you don't know how to get things out on time, you don't know how to count your pages, you don't know how to check for resto, you're going to get returns, you're going to get left, right, you don't know how to take pictures and upload, everything's taken you a million years.
Right.
eBay, and believe it or not, if a person's coming... whether you put it on an auction or whether you put it at a buy it now, and they see, okay, this person has, you know, five feedbacks as a seller.
Yeah.
You know, for a $30 book, you might pull the trigger.
Right.
If it's a $2,200 book, you might not. You might not trust them.
Fair enough.
So eBay is tricky, but, you know, revisiting that shopkeep thing, if you can find a reputable eBay seller,
yep.
and that may be your local comic book shop. If you can find a reputable eBay seller and get into a contract with them saying, hey, here's my collection, can you sell these on eBay for me?
Right.
If the shopkeep is smart, they will say yes, but we will only sell them on auction.
Okay, so hold on. Let's wait. Before we get into that, I want to go back to just eBay itself.
Go ahead.
Okay.
Go ahead.
So selling it on eBay yourself, what are the commission fees?
Right. I believe, roughly speaking, it's like 10% to eBay, about 4% to PayPal.
Okay.
Right.
Okay. So eBay itself, if you're doing it, a lot more work.
Way more work.
You have the possibility of not selling it.
Yeah.
That's the cons,
yeah.
right? Because it might not sell.
Yeah, it might not sell.
You might sell that $10 book that you think you're going to get $10 for from the... the comic book store wouldn't give me $10 for it. I'll get that $10 myself.
Right.
Maybe you're not getting it.
Not getting it.
Okay.
Yeah.
So, but now you could have a sale for and collect 85% of the value of the item.
You could.
Okay. So now, what you're talking about now is sort of a hybrid between the comic book store itself and eBay.
Right.
Okay, so now what are you saying?
Okay, so now what I'm saying, if you have a collection, you don't have a name behind you for, eBay. You know, you don't have the time, you don't have the skills.
Right.
You don't have the reputation, you don't have the language, the correspondence language, you don't have the packing knowledge, you don't have anything like that. And you find a company like, let's say, your local comic book shop, if they do it, and you take them your collection, you go, look, you're going to give me 25% or 30% based on the value. Why don't we get into a situation where you list these for me? Like I said, the shopkeep, to their benefit, will want to do it, run an auction.
Right.
They'll run auctions. Because the reason is they're guaranteed sales. Because
right.
the shopkeep doesn't want to post something on it. Oh, okay, I'm going to post this book for $12.
Yeah.
Might be there 2 years from now.
Sure.
Right?
Sure.
So what they do is the shopkeeps will make the lots, because the shopkeep will try to make the lots worth their while in terms of the work involved, because somebody at the shop has to take the pictures, somebody has to write the descriptions, and with raw books, Chris, somebody has to count the pages.
Right.
Somebody has to check for restoration.
Yeah.
Somebody has to check for defects, you know, I'll do it and write all that out.
Yeah.
Right? It's time consuming and knowledge based.
Sure.
Right? So it's not unreasonable for a shop to ask for, let's say, a 40% commission.
Cut. Yeah. Cut.
And so
now that 40%, does that include the eBay fees, or is that
on
top
shop,
of?
Well, if you're a negotiator, you're going to say, okay, but you as the shop will cover the eBay fees and the PayPal fees.
Okay. Right? So
then basically the shop's getting 25%.
Right. Okay. Speaking, that's okay. Right? Yeah.
But this way you're getting 60%.
Right.
If you can negotiate higher,
yep.
you should, right? But you're getting, let's say, 60%, which you would never have gotten.
Right. So you're not going to get 60% for the run-of-the-mill stuff.
You're not going to get 60% for anything if you bring your whole collection in.
Right, that's what right? I mean, yeah.
But you are going to get 60%. It'll take you time. It may take 3, 4, 5 weeks worth of auctions to sell through all your stuff. And it
yep.
may take another 4, 5, 6 weeks for all the payments to come in.
Yeah, yeah.
But at the end of the day, okay, everything sold for $8,000.
Right.
Here's your $4,800 check.
Okay, right? Fair enough. Okay.
And so the $3,200 that was left over, the shopkeep went and paid for the PayPal, paid for the eBay,
yep.
and then they pocketed the rest for all the work that they did.
Sure, which makes sense.
So in that sense, really, both parties win. The seller of the collectibles, I think, maximizes their... And when we talk about this, Chris, we're talking about those really hard to dispense with collections.
Well, I was going to say, there has to be, for the store to go to endeavor to do this.
Yeah,
they're not going to list $1,002 books.
No,
right? They'd have to.
This is what we do.
Okay, what do you do?
We demand that we make the lots.
Right,
and we try, the best educated guess, to come up with a $100 lot.
Okay,
right?
Yeah.
So a $100 lot is like, okay, some underperform, they may sell for $62.
Yeah.
But some, you know, a couple of buyers, they really want that. They may sell for $149.
Right.
Or whatever.
Right.
It doesn't matter. But you aim for $100 lots because the amount of work involved, that's kind of a price point where you feel that it's almost worth it.
Sure. Right? Sure. Well, if it's a $100 lot, and they're, that means
if the shop keeps making 25,
so like $25
bucks. Right. But listen, if you have a run of Journey into Mysteries, again, you have to count every page.
Sure.
You have to take a multiple pictures. You have to note and type out all the defects that you see, all the this, all the pages missing, coupons cut, da-da-da.
Yeah.
It's
yeah.
an atrocious amount
sure.
of work, right? But you're also, as the seller, leaning on the good standing of the eBay seller that is that shop
right.
or whoever.
Right,
because they have a following on their auctions
yep.
That you're tapping into. Because again, if you put them up as auctions, even though you're going to get 85%,
yep.
who's to say that your auctions won't end much lower
sure.
than a well-visited auction?
Sure.
You may end up getting less.
Yep.
You may end up getting more, but you may end up getting less.
Right, right.
And with zero work.
Right.
Right? So, for the other way. So,
okay, so that's...
So
that would be way... So we've got sell to the store.
Yep.
Sell to eBay.
Yeah.
Or sell to eBay through the store.
Through the store.
Okay.
Yeah. Or so through some conduit.
Through some professional...
Professional
eBay seller.
Probably a store.
Yeah.
Right.
Okay, so now what about the idea of selling it through a classified ad like a Kijiji?
Better for the seller, I think, than the store.
Okay.
The first option in terms of price.
Okay, yeah. In terms of getting the most money.
Most money, right. But it makes you become, because some people are uncomfortable, Chris, with A, haggling.
Right.
B, inviting people to their home.
Sure.
C, going out on a cold night at a Tim Hortons or a Dunkin'
yeah.
Donut
yeah,
parking
yeah,
lot
yeah.
And
doing making the swap.
Doing a transaction. So, but also there, you know, you have to kind of do your homework and know what you have. And then, you know, and like I said, with people walking into my shop, you know, I mean, got a long, not a long box, a short, stubby box, 80, 90 comics in it. It's like, you know, I'd want this one, I'd want that one, I want that one.
Yeah.
And one thing I always do advise everybody is don't sell your five good books.
Yeah, yeah.
Because then nobody will want the rest.
Yeah,
right?
Exactly.
So keep them in with the mix and just say, hey, no, it's a one price for everything. And listen, we have a lot of comics. There's a few in there that I like. I'll pay for those, but you know, I'm going to give you $50 for this box.
Right, right.
You know, and I guarantee you, you throw that up on Kijiji, you put $150 or best offer.
Yeah,
you might get $100 off.
Right,
the box.
Right.
You might get $125 off.
Yeah,
the box.
You'll get more than 50 probably.
You're going to get more than what I'm going to give you.
Yeah,
and honestly, 4 out of 5 times. No, not even 4 out of 5. I would say 2 out of 3 times.
Right.
The guy will go, yeah, I got no time for that crap.
Yeah.
You know, just give me the $50, I'm happy.
I'll take
right?
it. Yeah.
Sure. So, but he understands. I've told him the value. I didn't say it's worth 60. I'm giving him 50.
Yeah, yeah.
But 1 out of 3 times, the guy will say, hey, thanks for the info. I'm
yep.
going to try that.
Fair enough.
Because they want to pull out the extra money.
Now, I know, and I've done it, and I've said it, and I know I've been there when you've said it, where sometimes the books are just so crappy
yeah.
that you've said to people, like, don't even bother.
Yeah.
Like, just donate them to somebody.
Yeah, donate them to somebody. If
yeah.
you're not going to donate them to us, because we got a report card program that we run at our store, and we do literacy things, and we give away comics. We always do the Goodwill, right? The what do you call that place?
Salvation Army?
No, what's the other one? There's one up on Wentworth and...
Isn't that Salvation Army?
No.
Oh, I don't know.
Anyway, it's I think it's Goodwill.
Okay.
Something like that. Anyway, we say, hey, just go over there and just donate them there.
Are you talking about, I can't remember what it's called now. I know what you mean. Anyway, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Over by where the British pub was. So, yeah, just donate them. Like, yeah, some of the stuff is just not worth anything. Did I ever tell you the story? I think I did. Tell you the story of
dumping the comics.
Dumping the comics.
Yeah, yeah. But you told me, but you should probably tell.
So yeah, we had comics in Niagara Falls, and to be honest, there was a flood in the basement, so we had to throw about it was 2 pickup truck loads, maybe about 100, maybe 80 long boxes.
Yeah, yeah.
And we had to throw them. We had to take them to the dump.
Right.
So here we are. We're taking
them. Slog them.
Yeah, and there's because they're paper, they're recyclable, so we
yeah.
don't have to pay.
Nice.
Right. But we still have to lug them, we have to take them there, we have to throw them. So the buddy's over there working the yard, and he, what do you got there? I go, we're comics. Oh, you're throwing them away. Yeah, so we're throwing them away, and we go back and get the second load. And as we're pulling back, buddy's in his like beach chair, because it's summertime.
Yeah.
They're just relaxing, eating lunch on the beach chair, and he's reading one of our comics.
That's awesome.
Yeah, so we thought that was cool. So then we threw out the second load. And then about 2 weeks later, Dave, who works down at the Niagara shop, who runs the Niagara shop, he calls me and he's laughing. He's like laughing his head off. I go, what's up, Dave? And he goes, oh, well, they're ghost comics. They're phantom comics. They're possessed comics. We can't even throw them away. I go, what do you mean? He goes, well, buddy walks in today and he goes, hey, bud, I got about 10 long boxes of comics I'm selling. You want them? And he brings them in, and it was all the stuff we threw away.
That's awesome.
Because I guess buddy at the yard phoned a buddy.
Sure,
said,
sure.
This guy's throwing away comics.
Yeah.
Right? So, anyway.
Oh, my goodness.
So, some comics, honestly, you can't even throw.
Can't even give them away.
Can't even give them away. Right.
Okay.
So, yeah. So, yeah, there are a lot of comics that yeah, they're not worth anything.
Right.
I would say most of the comics, ever printed aren't worth anything.
I agree. Yeah. I agree with that. If you look percentage-wise.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay, so Kijiji, you're going to get the most money out of your
comics. You're
going to
get more money because what you're doing with Kijiji or places like that, Craigslist and stuff, is you're finding an end user.
Right.
Right.
But the problem with that is a lot more work for you.
A lot more work. You have to meet people.
You have to meet people.
Yeah, you have to put yourself in uncomfortable situations of haggling. Yeah.
And if you don't let people come into your house,
then you can meet somewhere out thing. But then again, you know, you're meeting somebody. If you ever do that, always make it during the day. Always make it in a well-trafficked area.
Yeah.
You know, just be smart.
Yeah, right? For sure.
You know,
for
so, sure. Yeah. So far,
okay.
So far, we're covering it.
Okay. So, store, eBay with store, Kijiji.
Mm-hmm.
Now, what about selling them at a convention?
Right.
There's a lot of one-day shows out there.
That is something that I recommend everybody tries once.
I would agree with that.
Yeah?
Yeah, I would totally agree with that.
You do it. Maybe you get a buddy to come along with you. Maybe if they have comics, you get them to go half a table. And you go, hey, let's go peddle our stuff.
Yeah.
Right? Because the good news about that is what you always do. If you're going to do that already, then what you do is you say, hey, we're taking every single penny of our proceeds and we're buying more stuff. And then dinner and whatever. Oh, you got to cover your gas and your table.
It depends why you're selling them. But yes.
But if you need money, I don't know. I tell you what. With... depending on what kind of stuff you bring.
Yeah.
If you're fresh meat.
Oh, yeah. Here come the sharks.
Here come the sharks. If you go to a con and you have anything half decent.
At a decent price.
You play that up. It's almost like you're wearing a mini skirt or something like that. Yeah. I swear to God. It's like, oh, my God, who's that new who's that new guy at the table?
Yeah.
You know, let's go see what's in their boxes. Right? And so... you're going to get all the dealers coming over to you before the show opens.
Yeah, yeah.
Right? So if you're smart, you got to play it smart.
Yes.
Right?
So what do you do
then? What you don't do, if you know you have half-decent stuff,
yeah,
you do not discount one penny to the dealers.
Right.
Not one penny.
Right.
Right?
Yeah.
Because if they want it, it's good.
If they're already saying they want it and they're a dealer,
and it's good.
Yeah.
If they're putting it on their pile, if I grab a big pile, would you give me half off?
No.
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 You know, I mean, if you grab $30,000 worth, I might give you a couple, you know, $1,500 off.
Yeah.
You know, I don't know, making up silly things. But my point is, if it's like, you know, okay, I got these 22 comics, they add up to $1,100. How about $800?
Yeah, no.
No, no. I'll take the $1,100.
Yeah.
Because if you want them, everybody will want them.
That's right.
Right?
That's
and right. then when the doors open, I'll make my money, but I won't have anything to sell.
That's so right.
I mean, it's...
Do you stop the dealers from buying? Like, do you...
It depends on why you're there. If you want to establish a relationship and become a dealer, maybe.
Okay.
Right?
Yeah.
Maybe you say, hey, you know, I'm not... The lids don't open till the show opens.
Yeah, something like that. Yeah.
We do that with our $5 bins at Fan Expo.
Right.
So, because our $5 bins are really good deals at Fan Expo.
Yeah, yeah.
And so, we usually have like 40, 50 boxes ready to go. And they're just frothing at the bit, especially the dealers.
Sure.
They're frothing at the bit. They want to get in there. It's like, okay, these lids come off at 2 o'clock on Thursday.
Yeah.
You all know that, right? Yes, yes. So I'll go to the bathroom and I'll come back and, Tam or somebody will say, hey, Walt, that guy from New Brunswick, he came and I said, yeah, Walt lets me in early on these all the time. No, he doesn't.
Nope.
Yeah, so they'll always try to, pull a... But I realized when I did that, it's because the show opens at 2 o'clock.
Right, right.
But it's not fair because the dealers are already in the room.
They're already there.
There's Buddy, 20 minutes after 2 is really early to get in.
Absolutely.
You're near the front of the line.
Yeah, absolutely.
Right?
Yep.
But how about the guy that's lined up and he's not going to get there till 10 after 3?
Or 5.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah.
Okay, 5 may be too much, but I should stagger it an hour.
Right.
It's like, hey, because it's you might as well open it at 1.
You might as well.
Yeah.
So what do you do then?
Well, up until now, I've always opened it at 2.
Right.
Right.
So now you can open them up at 3?
Maybe. Just to piss everybody off.
Here's what you do.
You
open up the first 10 boxes at 2.
Yeah.
And say, the next 10 are going to open at 3.
Yeah, I know. But I don't know. It's become quite an event.
So if you're just trying to sell to make money.
Yeah.
You think that's the best bet?
A con?
Yeah.
No.
Okay.
No, because you don't know, like, your overhead at a con is quite steep.
Well, let's say...
And your sell-through isn't good.
Right.
Right? Your sell-through is shit. I'm sorry, I swore, but your sell-through is terrible.
When you say sell-through, the amount of stuff you're actually going to sell...
Well, if you're taking, like, say, 6 boxes with you, and you might have 1,200 comics, you're going to be lucky to sell 60 comics.
Right. But it's fun.
But it's fun. Yeah. Oh, I didn't say it wasn't fun, and I didn't say you shouldn't try it.
No.
And I didn't say that the books that you sell, you're not going to get top dollar for.
Right.
All those things are true.
Right.
But when you factor in those 80 or 60 that you sold to your, you've lost your day, you went out for dinner.
Yep.
You paid for table spaces, you paid for gas, you paid for parking, you paid for a million things.
Yeah, yeah.
All of a sudden, that eats into that.
Sure.
All of a sudden, you know, that $2,000 that you made isn't looking so great because, you know, 550 of it
went to expenses.
Went to expenses.
Plus the expenses of what you paid for the books to begin with.
Right. So let's say you did really well and you paid half.
Yeah.
So you made $450.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, if you took it to your local comic book shop, if just those good ones, that guy may have given you $1,200.
Right.
So you may have made $250 less.
Yeah.
But you would have spent the day at the beach.
Right.
Right?
Right.
So, I don't know.
Yeah. No, that's a good point. Okay. So now what about the other online auction houses? Mm-hmm. Like, now I'm going to say, like, you probably have to make sure you have good stuff. For like a Heritage or, you know,
Comic Link. Comic Connect.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You have to have decent stuff. And it probably, for the most part, has to be graded, correct?
Right. Yes. Those are good. But like I said, you have to have really good stuff. The thing I find about those, Chris, in terms of the... I'll put a quick plug into ICE because we're like small fry in that food chain, but we're there. Those types of places, there's two ways to sell through there. Is to post them at buy it now prices.
Yeah.
And to run them on that house's auctions.
Right.
Right. The thing with buy it nows is... the turnover isn't that high. There are books on Comic Link. Comic Link, I think it has maybe 9,000 or 10,000 CGC books on their marketplace.
Right.
Can you imagine trying to filter through and look for stuff
there?
You
have to be very specific what you're looking for.
It's like a parking lot.
Right.
To just randomly shop.
Yeah.
Right? And so, you know, there are people with books up there for years.
Sure.
Literally years.
Sure.
Right? So if expediency is the thing, you have to run it at their auctions. But even then, each house has reputations for doing better at certain things.
Right.
Like Comic Link, I'm not going to go into specifics because they always change.
Yeah.
But there are times when, okay, I got these books. Comic Link is the place to go.
Right.
I got these books. Heritage is the place to go. You know, I got these books. ICE is the place to go because they're not worth that much money and ICE is local or something like that. Whatever. There are ways you kind of... But the problem with that is you have to know the lay of the land of sellers. You have to know which sellers are hitting right now, which sellers are the ones to use for which type of genre, for example, or which type of price bracket. And that's too much to know for every seller.
Yeah.
You're not expected to know that. You're selling your collection. How the hell are you going to know who's better at good girl art and who's better at crime?
Right.
You know, so you can't.
So I was talking about the auction houses. That brings me to the next one.
Uh-huh.
So auction houses can be good, but you have to have, for the auctions.
Right.
You have to have good stuff.
You have to have good stuff. And I don't recommend sending slabs down to Portland or New York or Texas to sit at buy it now.
Right.
I would rather you just put them up on eBay for buy it now.
Right. Okay.
At your local comic book shops, Buy It Now store.
Right. Right? Right. Yeah. Okay, so then there's also consignment shops.
Right.
Which is sort of like what ICE has.
Yeah.
So it's a little bit, not quite, because the eBay shop store, that's usually they're going to want to do auctions.
Right.
But then you have the consignment shops, which Heritage does, or not, or Comic Link does.
Yeah, there are not a lot of those. There are not a lot of those. There's, you know, the big players are Heritage, Comic Link, Comic Connect, Hakes is okay, Pedigree is there in the marketplace. You know, we're there.
ICE
is there. ICE is there in the marketplace. You know, I've just named six. I'd use the one that you're closest to and you have a working relationship with.
Right, right. Right. Now, the pros and cons for that is...
Well...
you're probably going to get the most money.
This is what you should do. Honestly, this is what you should do. You should... It's almost like selling a house. Talk to the person that you trust and say, okay, I have this book. I need money.
Right.
And the person will go, look, I know the marketplace. You don't.
Right.
If you need to turn this in a week, let's price it at this.
Right.
If you paid too much money for it, you don't need the money back, but you want to get out and are patient and the market is slowly moving up, let's set it at this.
Right.
And wait until the market moves into that price.
Right.
So you should kind of take advice almost from that professional, the person that knows what they're talking
about. That's fair, yeah. Right? Yeah.
So like I said, you have a Hulk 181. It's an 8.0. It's worth $5,000.
Yeah.
Okay. You know, I really like it. I'm not in a hurry for it, but I do want to sell it eventually. Would you put $5,700 on it? Yeah, okay. And then the reseller has to go, okay, it's trending upwards, I will.
Right,
but
right.
Because if it's trending downwards, they might say, I don't want to waste my time.
Sure, right? Sure. And you're saying $5,700 because the seller wants to get that full $5,000 out of it.
Full $5,000.
Right.
Even more, 51.
Even with the
well, after the 10% fees. Commission or whatever.
Yeah. Yeah.
But if you can also say to him, if it's a him, say, hey, okay, if you really want to sell this, post it at $4,900.
Yeah. You know? Yeah.
It's below the last two sales.
Right.
It's well-centered. It's got good color. It's blah, 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 good page quality. Yours is going to look like a bargain.
Right.
By 2%. By literally 2%. Right?
Yep, yep.
So if you want to sell it quickly,
yep.
Sell it for just below... the current rate,
right?
Depending on how hot the book is,
sure.
Because if it's kind of like a slow moving book that doesn't have a lot of turns over the year, and it's $5,000, you might have to put that at, you know, $4,400,
right?
To try to entice a quick sale,
right?
You follow?
Yep.
So,
so there's lots of different ways to sell.
Yeah, and at the end of the day, there's a couple of things. If you're lucky enough to know somebody, you can ask them for advice. If you have a good working relationship with your shop and they're good at it, you can lean on them. But, you know, there's no excuse in today's age, Chris, for not knowing.
Right.
There's no excuse for not knowing. You can grade on the fly.
Yeah.
You can even, you know, find, you know, that comics.org website.
Yeah.
Comics.org is really good. Because when I think they pretty well for like the Marvel DC stuff of the 40s, 50s, 60s, and 70s.
Yeah,
I'm pretty sure that almost on every single book they'll give page counts.
Oh, okay, yeah, right? Nice. You know,
so
yeah.
They'll say up at the top 36 pages.
Does that include the cover?
That includes the cover,
okay.
Right? And so then you can do the page count yourself.
Yeah.
See if there's any like. There's no excuse for not knowing.
Right.
You don't have to know it really, really well, but you should have the basics.
Then. Right.
You know, is the book complete?
Yep.
Is there any blatant, you know, resto on it, like lots of crayon?
Yeah.
Is there any, I don't know.
So as far as selling goes, now we talked about grading books and selling them as raw. Is there a price point that you think that you have a book that needs to be graded? Like, would you say, like, you know, do you take a... I mean, I know it's a kind of a tricky question because if a book gets a 9.8 or a 10, which is unheard of, then the prices are going to skyrocket.
Right. Yeah.
Right?
So, I mean, if it's super high grade,
yeah.
You need to get a grade.
No matter what it is.
Yeah, well, I mean, I mean, if it's a 9.8 book that's worth $30 a 9.8 because it's Speedball number 5,
right.
You don't want to grade it anymore.
Yeah,
right?
Fat Ninja.
Yeah. So, but if it's a book that has value at 9.6 and 9.8, at 9.4 even, you know, like Nova number 1.
Yep.
Right?
Yep.
If you have a really high grade copy, I forget the values, but I think a 9.4 can still get $200.
Okay.
But a 9.8 can get like $1,200.
Right.
Or something like
right,
that.
Right, right.
So, and if you think it's beautiful, well, you better grade it.
Yeah, yeah,
so
yeah.
So make it a 9.8.
Yeah, yeah.
But to answer your question, no, you don't always have to grade it. The problem with grading, especially in the mid-grades,
yep.
Is that it's final.
Right.
Like, you're not getting better than a 5.0.
Right, you know? Right.
So, but if you had that same book raw,
yeah,
it looked good.
Yeah.
People don't know how to grade. And
yeah,
when
yeah.
they're bidding on an auction, they go, that looks good.
Yeah.
I'm happy
yeah,
with it.
Yeah.
Somebody hasn't set a ceiling and a limit to
right.
it.
Right. And let's not forget that the guy that's grading it uh-huh. might be off a little bit.
Sure.
You never know.
That's a possibility. But the thing is, if it's a book that's worth $200, you may have paid 50 for it.
Yeah.
And you may have got 50 or 60 into the grading and pressing if you did it. You know,
yep.
it's $110. Let's say it sold for 180. You know, you did good. You made
yep.
$70.
Yeah.
But how do you know raw? You may have got 100 out of it.
Right.
Which you made $20 less, but you didn't have to wait 4 months for it to come back
right.
and to deal with the stress of where is it, when is it coming back,
yeah.
and da-da-da-da.
Shipping
and
missed
opportunity
that.
Costs
yeah, yeah.
and all that kind of stuff, right?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You know, it's not like they don't get anything when you list them raw. They
no.
do, right?
Sure.
Especially in the mid-grades, sometimes the difference between pressing them and selling them and running them raw and selling them is negligible.
Right.
And I'll even go out and say that sometimes it's actually even more beneficial to press it, sorry, to sell it raw.
Right, right.
And
right.
that maybe manifests itself more in the low grade area.
Yeah, because yeah. For the amount of money that you're going
to
spend on pressing it, it might
yeah.
not warrant it.
Right,
right.
Right, yeah. So, you know, I mean, if, I don't know.
All right, no, that was good.
I think it's a tricky thing. I think it's a lot of responsibility, and it really has changed, Chris, over the years. Over let's say the last, you know, when you and I started this show
yeah.
12 years ago or something like that. The way it's changed is it's a lot. There's a lot more to lose now.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
If you were selling your collection in 2008, 2009,
yeah.
and you have that same collection, and I'm talking about a general mix of comics,
yeah.
you have that same collection you're selling now, you're probably talking about, and then this is like, say you're in your 50s or 60s, and it's a lifetime accumulation of a few thousand books, six,
yeah.
7,000 books, you may be talking about a difference in value of $100,000 to $200,000.
Sure.
That they've appreciated.
Sure,
that's
sure.
nothing to sneeze at.
No,
if
absolutely.
It was like, you know, whether it's an extra $5,000-$10,000, you know, whatever.
Yeah.
So I'm going to treat it the same as I would 12 years ago.
Yeah.
But now they've literally tripled in value.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
Now you have to kind of be a lot more serious when you're thinking about selling than you were before.
Right.
And before it was, they're in the way, I got to get rid of them.
Yeah, I get
it. Now it's like, hey.
Hey.
These might be worth
I better check these out
I better
first.
Check these
yeah,
out.
Yeah, yeah.
And
even, and you know what's funny? It's funny you should say that. Because even when you do that, and I know from experience recently, I went through, a couple years ago, I went through my books, and I just started pulling out books that I figured I didn't want anymore.
Yeah. yeah.
And, you know, I didn't, you know what? I didn't like this run on Thor.
Yeah.
So, you know what? I'm just going to donate it. I'm going to give it away.
Get rid of it, yeah.
Well, now there's a character in that Thor book,
yeah.
that's now going to be part of a movie
yeah.
or something,
yeah.
right? And
yeah.
now all of a sudden that $2 book is
yeah.
now a $100 book.
Exactly.
So,
exactly.
you know, you better be happy with what you're getting rid of. You better
yeah.
be, and that happens to us. It happens to guys who've been,
yeah.
been around for
yeah.
40 years.
It happens to us. It happens. I've always had this debate with somebody, you know, the heartache of being a reseller your whole life of collectibles. It doesn't even have to be comics. It could be cards. It could be anything. Is that you remember?
Oh yeah.
Oh, I had one of those, and I sold it for $1,200.
Oh, I know.
Now it's worth $100,000.
I don't want to think about
but
that.
But the thing, though, is what you got to remember to all the resellers listening. yeah. and you'll know this, yeah. is it's about turns, right?
Yeah.
If you're making 10, 15, and you're lucky enough to make 20% markup on something that you sell, but you've taken that money and you've turned that over 4 or 5 times that year, and you extrapolate that over 10, 15-year period, you've made the same amount as if you just left that initial book sit there.
That's right.
for 20 years,
yeah.
roughly speaking.
Yeah, yeah.
Sure, you had to do a hell of a lot more work,
yeah.
but you've nickeled and dimed your way to that $100,000.
That's right. Yeah,
right?
That's right.
So, you know, that $1,200 got you 15 on your next deal, which got you 18 on your next, which got you, and then all of a sudden, you have that.
Or, maybe you need the money at the time for
selling.
Well,
whatever. I'm just talking about as a reseller.
Yes.
You should never lament if I kept that. Because you know what the problem with that is? We always remember if I kept the ones that are now crazy.
Sure.
Right?
Sure.
You don't remember the Blackhawk number.
The 45 boxes of crap that you had.
Or Walt Disney's Comics and Stories that you sold for $400 in 1997 that might be worth $500 today.
Right.
You know?
Yeah.
You know, you choose not to, you know, that doesn't stare at you in the face as much as that. You know, that really nice, tight, amazing Fantasy 15 that you sold 20 years ago for $1,100.
Right.
So I don't know if that helped.
No, that's good. That was
good. If there's any more questions, though, Chris, because this is such a broad topic, and it's a topic, honestly, you and I are here to be able to help to listen
and
to.
And really, my goal on this was to just keep on, giving you questions about it.
Obviously, I know
about the stuff already.
Right.
But,
Then please, in the comments field on comicbookdaily.com, if you have any questions that we missed on ways of selling, our take on what the best for something is by all means, just leave it there.
All right, sounds good. Listen, enjoy the rest of your day and go out and support your local comic book retailer.
And see you next week.